She's doing porn again.
Hi, I'm Adrian, but you might know me better as Siri Doll.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm a civilian. I don't watch porn.
And I'm Siri Doll, and I do a lot of porn.
Are we going to keep this?
I think we should. And
Let's keep it. Let's do it. Oh, you're listening to After Adult.
Where I, Siri Doll, I was retired from porn, but then I came back. And so now we talk about it.
And I, Rachel, I talk about my perspective on, okay. All right.
And that was our little improv experiment, guys. That was our yes-anding our way into 2021.
Well, yeah, here we are, 2021. For the record, I want to mention that both Rachel and I are wearing, I'm wearing a comfy, like the official comfy,
I didn't get the, yeah, I didn't get the memo or I'd be wearing mine.
Okay, let's make a pact right now. The next recording, we both wear our comfies.
Wait, our next recording is with people I respect. I don't know if I want to wear it.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah, so not then.
Okay, not that I don't respect any of our other guests who come on, but our next recording are people who I wanted to record with.
Yeah, and they're organized.
So we should probably look
like we know what we're doing for them, for their sake.
They're such a professional operation. And I'm very excited. And you'll hear it, I guess, and I don't know when they'll post it because they like to stack. But I don't know. But I'm not going to spoil it. You have something to look forward to for the new year.
We have another podcast collab coming up. It'll be a fun one. And it's probably going to be something excited that none of our listeners would honestly expect. So
no, except for my friends who I've been telling them about.
Yeah.
who just so happened to also be listeners. There's a cross section there.
So I want to ask you, Rachel, if you have any resolutions for 2021.
No, resolutions are for chumps.
Well, okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't make resolutions because as a Jew, I celebrate the new year twice.
Okay, fair.
And so resolutions are just two different times that I can disappoint myself. Also, I'm always too hard on myself when I make a resolution, and it's like I don't know how to set a realistic resolution. And 2020 has really given me some perspective.
That's a good point.
So I'm just going to try to be nicer to myself and the people around me. And
I like that.
Yeah. Do you have a resolution? I'm not dinging people who do have resolutions. it's not for me in the year 2021. I'm not doing it.
I think that's a very fair thing to, I mean, I basically agree with you also. I have historically not really done resolutions, or I've never taken it seriously. It wasn't something my family didn't do it. It wasn't something I grew up, really acknowledging. And, I've done it a couple times just for fun. But even when I've had resolutions and I, was new year, new me, I, didn't take it that seriously.
But you also are the type of person who you don't need a specific date. You don't need, it's January 1-1, I'm going to start doing this.
Yeah.
You make your own New Year's resolutions whenever you want.
Whenever I want.
You were I'm going to start powerlifting, and then you just, gave it your all and doing that. And, you were I'm going to go back into porn, and I have this date, and, you don't need a timetable. Sort of thing. You're a very determined person.
I'm not bound by the laws of time and physics. I can do whatever I want, wherever I want.
You're bound by both, but I appreciate the enthusiasm.
I don't know. Like, when I was a kid, I never even knew what resolutions were, but I guess I felt like the beginning of the school year was, like, the time when I would be like, ah, here are all the new things I'm going to implement. Here's how I'm going to be a different or, like, a better person. So, similar to resolutions, but those were always in, like, September or August, whenever the school year started.
I don't think I've ever done resolutions either.
Even then, mine would be, like, this year, I'm going to not have an anxiety attack when I try to find someone I know to sit next to in the lunchroom. Like, it'd be like the most depressingly specific goal to have as a teenager.
It was really upsetting.
Yeah.
My body had a resolution that I didn't know about for 2021. My uterus was like, we're going to shed any vestiges of 2020. And I started my period promptly on January 1st.
That's kind of amazing, though. Like, kudos to your body.
My body was like,
right,
we don't
schedule
expel anything from 2020.
Oh my god. That's amazing. Even your uterus was like, get this shit out of me! I don't want this tissue from 2020. Fuck
no,
that.
It was like, no thank you. Oh, wait, I did have something you asked me. You asked me, you were like, is there anything you want to talk about on the podcast? And I actually do. I got a very nice email from Randy.
Ooh.
He said he listens to it while at the gym. Compliments me. Love it. And then he asked if we had any more info, like any podcast or articles or books or anything to learn more about the evolution of the religious right. He just like wants to try to understand, like he doesn't agree with them, but he just wants to like try to understand all sides of the story. So listeners, if you have any suggestions, email us, or you can hit me up on Twitter, which I created.
You created Twitter?
I created Twitter. I created a Twitter specifically for the podcast.
What's your at, Rachel? What's your Twitter at? Get your notepads out. Rachel's about to give out her Twitter username.
At Civilian Rachel. I have 18 followers. I'm following 34 people. I'm really on top of it.
Everyone, go give Rachel a follow. If you listen to this podcast episode, you're required to follow Rachel on Twitter. You don't use Twitter, you are required to download the app and make an account just to follow Rachel. Actually, I would really love if we can get like at least 10 people to make a Twitter account and follow you, and you be the only person that they are following.
No, if you follow me, you should definitely follow like the podcast, and you should follow Adrian.
Fair. Fine.
As you can see, we're really sticking to our not resolution to keep this podcast
professional. Highly professional.
To keep it organized.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it on topic. That being said, this episode is all about nothing.
It's all about whatever we want it to be. It's a new year.
We decided we wanted to.
What did I call
really
the name of our call for this episode? I tentatively try to name these like whatever the episode's gonna be, but I called this one New Year, New Bullshit.
Yeah. We wanted to talk about the New Year, New Bullshit, but we also wanted to talk about the old year and old bullshit.
Which is going to continue to bring bullshit into the new year.
Yeah, like
the same
if
bullshit.
If you didn't know about Sissia. Sissia.
So no, I've heard a couple people call it Sissia, but also when I read it, I just read Sissy.
But it's Stop the Internet Exploitation Act.
Stop Internet Sexual Exploitation Act.
Yeah, it didn't get through chambers. It was Bill Sass.
It died before it died. It died when the session ended.
Yeah, it was Sass and Merkley.
Yes, and Jeff Merkley from Oregon. What are you doing, Jeff Merkley? Oregon's supposed to be, like, Oregon. Like, Portland has the per capita, like, highest concentration of strip clubs. Lots and lots of sex workers are in Oregon. And I know some of them listen to this podcast, but I'm sure a lot of you are already, like, blowing up Merkley's phones, because what the fuck, yo?
There's a petition that you can sign that we'll leave in the comments, because even though it didn't pass chambers this sitting, it could still be, like...
Reintroduced,
change a T, dot an I somewhere else, and it could be reintroduced in a different sitting. You should let Senator Merkley know that he's an idiot.
He is an idiot. Real quick, I'm going to read through the list of, like, weird stipulations and requirements that Sissy introduces as basically challenges to the adult industry.
Is this from
the bills?
Is this from Gustavo's wonderful rundown from XBiz? That's dear friend of the podcast, Gustavo Turner.
You all know Gustavo Turner.
You all know Gustavo. I hope you listened to our last episode, because if you haven't, you should, because we talked about the war on porn, and this is a continuing war tactic.
It is. So, I'm going to link a couple things in the show notes. One of them is a fantastic Twitter thread from Anna Valence, who is a writer for the Daily Dot. She does a very deep dive, like, Twitter thread describing the...
And she references Cicia
Bill and the... vague terrible writing and how many issues it creates. So definitely check out her Twitter thread if you're curious about knowing, like, the in-depth info on this bill. But real quick, I'm just going to read some of the points from Gustavo's XBiz piece about Cicia. So pretty much verbatim, I'm just reading it. A wide variety of intended restrictions and stipulations on adult platforms include the following. Require any user uploading a video to the platform to verify their identity. So some of these, like, that sounds harmless enough, right? Require any user uploading a video to the platform to also upload a signed consent form from every individual appearing in the video, which is a weird overlap of laws that are already in place for porn content creators, namely the 2257 laws, and then also, like, any video producer or content producer is familiar with model releases, which is another form of consent to reproduce the image. So that really already exists. That's just a really redundant thing that's in the Cicia bill. So here's where things start getting real problematic, though. It creates a private right of action against an uploader who uploads a pornographic image without the consent of an individual featured in the image. Require platforms hosting pornography to include a notice or a banner on the website instructing how an individual can request removal of a video if an individual has not consented to it being uploaded on the platform. Prohibit video downloads from these platforms to be in place within 3 months of enactment of this legislation. For anyone who's doesn't understand what that means, like, literally every porn site will not be able to have downloadable content at all. Like, no more ability to download any porn content. This bill is also very vague and far-reaching in the way it defines porn. It's any graphic sexual imagery. Any.
Yeah, and as
furries. Like, fetish content that's not even nude.
Yeah.
Like,
and as we, literally and everything. And as we talked about last time, like, Pornhub does have, like, a whole subsection. Like, you can be a model.
Right. They call it Model Hub. It's, like, yes. It's like a part of the Pornhub site, but it's, like, a different URL. But it's all attached, like, behind, like, on the back end. When I log into my Pornhub account, I'm also logging into my Model Hub. Like, I access the same information as someone who's a verified model.
And one of the things that we are going to be talking about this year, which I've wanted to talk about, like, forever, is, like, created erotica that is not inherently, like, a video or pictures.
Yeah.
So, like, stories and books and things like that. You know what's crazy? I don't, Fifty Shades of Grey is not good. But if Sissy had been in effect, we wouldn't have it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, it's I've seen debate over whether Sissia would apply to written word or like fan fiction. I've seen people saying it would because the bill's so vaguely written. But I've also seen some like I'm not quite sure. But I think everyone can agree that like it is as it was originally introduced, it's vague enough that it just leaves too much room for interpretation on what is porn, which I think was actually intentional in the way it was written. Because just like Fosta Sesta was, this isn't really an attempt to like protect people from things like revenge porn. It's an attempt to ban porn or to make the lives of sex workers so awful and burdensome that they just leave the industry altogether. But that's not it. I still have fucked up things to read from what is in the Sissy Bill because it's
I was just going to say, and so then bad. They can leave their lucrative streams of profit to go into a great job market where there's lots of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. To an expansive, flourishing economy where there is absolutely, definitely never any form of labor exploitation anywhere else. You never see labor exploitation in any other sector of the American economy.
And where, like, I'm really lucky. I have a job where I can work from home in an industry where not everyone can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the majority of jobs in America.
So back to... So I just said the video downloads would be prohibited on porn websites, which is, like, literally ridiculous. But it gets even more ridiculous. Sissia would require platforms hosting pornography to offer a 24-hour hotline staffed by the platform. Individuals who contact the hotline can request removal of a video that has been distributed without their consent. There are so many levels of ridiculousness for that. Like, if they were just introducing this one rule and saying, like, we want Pornhub to have to do this, like, I think that's still ridiculous. But also, I'd be like, okay, well, I guess I can understand that since a lot of the content there is a user generated. But, like, for a platform like OnlyFans or something where you have to pass, like, to even sell my content on OnlyFans, I had to already do a whole bunch of identity verification stuff, like... They have so much of my personal information on file. They have a 2257 on file for me and everyone I work with that I sell videos of on OnlyFans. Like, why would they need it? It's just the concept of this 24-hour hotline is so obviously just something burdensome that they threw in to just make it, like, impossible for anyone to meet this standard, and therefore these companies will all go out of business because they'll be subject to so many crazy fines.
I actually think it's also more of a burden on victims.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, that's exactly what I want to do at 2 in the morning if I found out that an ex had posted, like, revenge porn because a friend or a family member had sent me something. And I want to call someone, like, some person who is probably, who would be, like, underpaid. And understaffed and poorly trained
staffer, yeah.
To report this intense invasion of privacy and assault. That's what I want to do. I want to contact, basically. It's like you're saying, yeah, if you want to report something like that, you should call Comcast Cable.
Yeah, it's, well, not only that, but, like, I mean, I automatically think, like, yeah, okay, if a porn website posts a 24-hour hotline, like, call this number to have a scene removed, like, they're just gonna get a shit ton of trolls flooding the lines. Like, that is not a good situation. So, yeah, not only that, but with the hotline, the companies will be required to remove any flagged videos as quickly as possible within 2 hours. If they do not remove a flagged video within 2 hours, they're subject to a $1,000 per day violation fine.
You would need to create a program that is easy enough for people who are on second and third shift for your 24-hour hotline.
Yeah.
To remove videos or you need to have like a second and third shift programmers.
Yeah. It's okay. And then finally, the most, there's a lot of other things that, like, details I'm skipping over here, but finally, the most glaringly, like, offensive thing in this bill to me, in my opinion, is it also requires the creation of a database of individuals who have indicated that they do not consent to be in porn. This database must be checked against before any new content can be uploaded to platforms. It instructs the Department of Justice to promulgate rules on where this database should be housed and to determine how to connect these victims with services, including counseling and casework. Failure to comply with this requirement will result in a civil penalty to the platform, with proceeds going towards victim services. So also there's language in the bill that indicates a nonprofit would be most likely given control over this database or access, like, to it. Guess what nonprofit that would be?
Like,
Exodus Cry.
Or
I mean, it's not said in the bill, but it's very obvious the way it's written and the way that Layla McCoy, like, keeps tweeting about Sissia and how it's, like, partly due to Exodus Cry's work that this bill even exists. Like, they are definitely the nonprofit that would be gunning to be in control of, like, this database of revenge porn victims.
Or, like, Traffic Hub or, like...
Well, literally... Trafficking Hub, yeah, is the same thing. It's an offshoot
of Exodus Cry. It's, yeah. Exactly. There are so many new organizations that are cropping up under this umbrella. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of creepy language elsewhere in the bill that I don't need to get into. Again, just please go to our show notes and look at the links. There's a link to Gustavo's really in-depth piece on this, as well as to Anna Vallon's Twitter thread, which is a great read.
Yeah, and she also, I think, wrote a fuller piece as well for the
She writes a lot for she covers a lot of sex industry and tech related stuff for Daily Dot. Well, I mean, it died in 2020, but I fully expect a version of Sissia to come back in the 2021 session. And who knows, they might rewrite it to be a little clearer, which I'm sure will be bad. But I'm not jazzed about it. Sex workers are not jazzed about this. And even people who are not sex workers should also not be jazzed about this, because it
even
definitely
if you
has
don't,
the potential to censor the entire internet in ways that we do not want.
Even if you don't consume porn or sex worker content, which you are right now by listening to this podcast, but, like, if you don't outside of this... the censorship is more that they're proposing would be more than just you can't have female presenting nipples on Instagram.
Oh, far more than that. Yeah. Most websites that we're all familiar with that have any form of user generated content would immediately ban all NSFW type content. Yeah. And probably go farther than that just to be safe, because that's the problem with any of these type bills that target sex workers in the name of, like, stopping revenge porn or stopping trafficking, which almost inevitably, like, they're never actually going to do much to actually stop revenge porn or stop trafficking. But their method of doing this is trying to hold private companies like social media platforms and porn platforms liable for content that they didn't generate and don't have the capability to moderate at the level that is demanded. And it's, like, just ridiculous that they're being attacked for it when everyone else gets away with that same thing. Instagram and Facebook, namely.
Save our titty drop.
Like, anyone who uses Reddit, I know a lot of the people who subscribe to my subreddit are Siri Porn Star is my subreddit. If you want to look at it, it's a lot of porn. I post there. I'm a moderator there. But I have a huge subreddit. It's like there's like 70,000 people subscribed to that. All you guys listening who are in my subreddit, if Sissia were to pass, or a future version of it were to be passed, guess what? Reddit's going to ban all NSFW content. No more porn subreddits. No more subreddit titty pics. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, Reddit in general. Because a lot of Reddit is porn. Bye, Reddit.
Yeah. Bye, our titty drop. And that is just...
I got to tell Sam about this. Sam already knows about Sissia Bill. Sam's my roommate. He just looks at Reddit. He's like such a Reddit nerd. He's not going to have any porn to look at ever again if this were to pass.
Yeah, and like most things, it'll just lead to worse things. It's not actually protecting victims. It's not like there are so many other things that you could do to protect victims, such as enacting laws.
Actually helping victims. For one. Actually,
like if you want to pass a law that would say that a victim is protected from like a class at, or not a class action law, but from libel or slander for outing their assaulter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, or
there's so many like legal issues with everything around like all of these issues.
And I know I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers, and that's why I'm not a lawyer. It's why I'm not in politics. It's why I don't come up with legislation. But it, based on this, I don't think either of these senators should be either.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we all knew. So, Rachel, are you saying that like you don't aspire to write legislation about things you don't fucking know about?
I mean, we all kind of knew.
Wow, imagine that, Ben Sasse and Jeff Merkley.
Yeah, we all kind of knew that about Sasse, but like,
can you visibly, I hope the listeners can, like, every time I do one of these sighs, because I have had a lot of sigh moments already in this episode, which is only 30 minutes that we've recorded so far.
I can see it. Can we?
Just imagine my face, listeners.
Anyway, you should share your nighttime journalings.
Okay, yeah. So I've been a massive ball of anxiety for the last 32 years or so, but specifically this week.
It's not like your livelihood is on the line or like you...
Yeah.
Like, you just had to pay like a butt ton of taxes because people in porn pay taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of taxes, more in than fact. Like, Donald I paid Trump more does. In taxes... This today, I sent the IRS more money in one transaction than I made in my first job that I got when I first moved to Kentucky. My like civilian job right after I retired mm-hmm. from porn. So yeah, I definitely pay taxes. And I don't know. It's like I pay quarterly, so they're like calculations based on what it's just what QuickBooks tells me. Yeah. Based on my information, but like, I don't know, I might have overpaid. I don't know. I highly doubt I underpaid, so that's good. But anyway, yeah, so that was adding to my stress. So in my feverish nighttime anxiety attacks, first of all, I've been smoking weed or like having cannabis, like edibles and stuff, more regularly now because it really like helps a lot with my anxiety. But even that now I'm like having these like crazy like anxiety thought trains when I'm trying to fall asleep. And so I started just keeping a little notepad next to my bed and writing down all the things that I'm thinking about when I'm trying to fall asleep. So like I showed Rachel one before we started recording, but I wrote in like very crooked handwriting because it was in the dark on my notepad, "I want to go to a rave." And then on the next page, in equally crooked handwriting, you want to read this one, Rachel?
I see what I do as wholesome. Aww.
I do. I was thinking about that. I was like trying to fall asleep last night and I was sitting in bed and I was like just having this like anxiety like meltdown of like, God, all these people attacking porn and attacking like sex workers and I just don't understand. Like I truly do not understand the mentality of the, especially like conservative Christians and stuff who like want to eliminate what I do from existing. It just like, I'm just going to start screenshotting, and you know, blanking out people's names for privacy, but I'm about to start screenshotting my, like some of my OnlyFans DMs and my conversations because The things that people feel comfortable telling me, because, and this is common with just about all sex workers, as far as I know, like, a lot of what we do is emotional labor. Like, we help people and we give people a feeling of comfort of, like,
intimacy.
You know, this guy was messaging me yesterday and he had asked me if I, like, know anything about sex toys for men. And so we got into a talk where I was like, well, like, all sex toys can be for men. But, I mean, I think for cultural reasons, there's not a huge, like, marketing base of sex toys marketed toward men, except for maybe masturbation sleeves and fleshlights. And a lot of that is because our culture doesn't, like, value men's sexual exploration, really. There's just this attitude of, like, you got a dick, it's hard, you fuck it, and then you're done. Like, and if you do anything else, you're not a man.
And there's not value on female. There's not value on anyone's sexual.
That's a good point. Yes, that's very true.
There's no value for anyone, no matter genitalia.
Yeah.
And then if it is, it's not. I'm not saying you should be a selfish lover. I am saying that, like, a lot of times it's not geared towards finding your own pleasure.
Right.
Or helping you better explain that if you are with a partner, it is geared towards making sure you're, like, the best in bed.
Right. Which is never jived with me because, like, I don't care about being the best. Like, I just care about having a really good time and feeling great. But yeah, so I was talking to this guy on OnlyFans, and then we got into a deeper conversation where he was, like, raised in a very, very conservative Christian denomination and, like, has, I don't know, it was this whole conversation, and I was like, this is so much deeper than just someone being like, oh, I'm going to join this OnlyFans for $6.99 and get some asshole pics. Like, I mean, pictures of my ass, like, my literal butthole. Like, not 69. Pictures of some guy who's an asshole. $6.99! Yeah. I didn't even do that on purpose, but now I'm going to say I did. So that was my weird thought train at night when I wrote down that I think my job is wholesome. Because I do. I feel very wholesome most days when I'm doing my job.
Yeah, and I mean,
even if I'm doing a double penetration scene, I feel like everything I'm doing is very above board and wholesome.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just some holes.
Oh my god! Oh, that's the name of this episode.
Sometimes it's just some holes.
Sometimes it's wholesome, sometimes it's some holes. Also, that might be a sticker that I need to make for the podcast. The other anxiety thought I had was about the, like, so I was thinking about payment processors, probably because I listened to, yesterday evening, I was working out at the gym, and I listened to one of the more recent episodes of our podcast friends, Peep Show Media's podcast. And they did one, they had two episodes, two really good ones. One of theirs, they talk about the New York Times article on Nick Kristoff. And they discussed that with Melissa Gira Grant, who's a well-known writer about topics related to sex work. And they also did an episode where they just have adult industry, like, sex workers and performers doing their, like, verbal stories that they submitted about their issues with payment processors or financial institutions. I submitted one in that episode about my experience having my bank account shut down. But it got me thinking, I was thinking about this last night, is like a lot of the time, the financial issues that confront sex workers are related to the fact that financial institutions, including banks and also credit card processors, classify adult related material as, like, high risk. Mm-hmm. And I understand.
Very familiar.
Yes, I know. So I understand the reasons why, but I was like, well, wouldn't it be ironic? So now that the shit has hit the fan with Pornhub, and I think a lot of adult performers, I already mentioned this in our episode with Gustavo, but a big fear right now is, oh God, are they going to come for OnlyFans too? Because that is, for me, the majority of my income, and for a lot of people, it is income that they really, really rely on. So that's one of the things that I just can't shake this feeling of anxiety over lately. You know, like I've been saving up money for a down payment on a house for like a year. I want to buy a house. I look at houses every day. Rachel's sending me links to houses, but I haven't even applied. I don't even have a mortgage approval. So like I am so early. I'm in the process where I'm like thinking about it. And the reason why I haven't taken any other steps is because it is incredibly intimidating as someone who does sex work, you know, although all the forms of sex work I do are illegal, like, which, by the way, side note, doesn't fucking matter to me. Like, I don't care. Like, I think all sex work should be decriminalized. But in the sense that, like, on paper, on my bank statements, everything I do is completely legal. Like, I shouldn't have to have this, like, massive anxiety about being discriminated against trying to buy a house. But it's there.
Yeah, and you'll have and you'll have to submit way more than I would slash did because I bought a house.
You, speaking of buying houses, you like just bought a house.
Anyway, yeah.
Congrats.
I'm
proud of you.
The show notes, we're just going to put a Amazon gift register. Just all stuff that I want people to get. I'm just kidding. I would do that. We got very lucky. But like June and I both have, you know, mainstream jobs where it's like we have W-2s, we have regular pay stubs. You, just as a, like, forgetting about what industry you work in, but as a person who is employed by themselves, you have to submit so much more.
It's
for a mortgage.
It's wild. And I understand why. So here's the thing. This is the thought train that got me like so anxiety ridden last night. It's like, okay, what if I do buy it? Like, I have enough saved up. Like, if I got approved for mortgage, like I could buy a house fucking tomorrow. Like, I'm ready financially. I just don't have the paperwork ready. But like, I know what I can afford and I want to get a house. But one of the things in the back of my head that's terrifying to me is like, okay, what if they do come for OnlyFans and then all of a sudden I don't know where my money's coming from tomorrow? Because that's my main source of income that I rely on. And it seems, I mean, it doesn't seem like, I mean, it's a part of the adult industry, which is under attack right now. My livelihood is under attack. And wouldn't it be the ultimate irony if the financial institution were like, the concept that I might not get approved or I might have a harder time getting approved for a mortgage because my industry is seen as high risk, when at this point, the only risk to my industry, the only risk to my livelihood is the financial institution themselves. Like, if I were to lose my income from OnlyFans, it's because of Visa and MasterCard pulling out of payments. It's like, it's just incredibly fucking frustrating.
And also, you know, there are people who work in the industry who, like, have children who, like, you know, they, like,
whole families are that also, are supported by this.
Yeah, they're being supported by this. And I just, and you know what? If you're a true capitalist, you should be good with people doing porn.
You know, that kind of reminds me of what Gustavo was saying about, like, libertarians. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with a lot of libertarian philosophy. But at least, I mean, libertarians have been very much, like, outspoken about everything that's going on right now. And I'm like, cool. I mean, you know, the more people hollering about this from the rooftops, the better.
A broken clock can be right twice a day or whatever. Like, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Like, I found myself being like, the other day, it was about Mitch McConnell holding up stuff in the Senate or saying, or like not allowing the Senate to vote on whether there should be $2,000
right
and on other things. And Lindsey Graham was like, said something to the effect of like approving $2,000 stimulus checks does not make us a communist nation. like something to the effect of that. And I was like, oh my God, I think I agree with Lindsey Graham.
Meanwhile, he turns around and he's like, yeah, but he's attacking section 230. So it's,
I know.
Yeah. Broken clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Mitch McConnell.
His home was vandalized.
It was
his fantastic Louisville home. And then also,
hey, if anyone who listens to this podcast is the person who did that vandalizing who lives in Louisville, like,
free,
you know,
free
email
fans.
Me the real Siri at protonmail.com. If you are the person or persons who vandalized Mitch McConnell's Louisville home, I will send you a gift package anonymously. You can just give me a P.O. box, like, whatever. I don't need to know your identity. Just let me know if you're the one who did it. I love you. I'm proud of you. I admire your work. I'll give you a gift package, or like if you need a gift card to anything, like I'll send you a gift card. I'm totally serious. Look, we might know the person who did it, Rachel.
I know, but you gotta cut that off at some point, because someone's gonna be like, people are gonna be hitting you up and be like, yo, I did it. And like, how, and you can't ask for proof.
Yeah, that's a good point. But you know what, Rachel? I'm not a nihilist. I trust people's good intentions.
I can't find the post, but apparently yesterday there was, like, Capitol Hill police are investigating. And basically it was like someone had left a mysterious package, maybe outside of Mitch McConnell's home. But, like,
oh my God.
I haven't found any reporting on it. That's it. I'm still hopeful for 2021. I'm still hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopeful's a word. In the English language.
Hatred.
You know what? I'm gonna post this photo that my boyfriend just sent me 2 minutes before we started recording. I'm gonna post it in our Instagram post that I do for this episode of the pod. And I just wanna say this. I'm gonna describe this photo, okay? Because at this point, because
this is an audio medium,
and because this is an audio medium.
And you're presenting a visual.
I'm so sorry, everyone. But I'm sure I swear to God, I've seen this before. I feel like this makes the rounds every pre-Valentine's Day, like time. But my boyfriend sent me a photo of, like, it's clearly on a shelf in like a Walgreens or something, and it's a stuffed a plush, and it's a donut. It's a stuffed plush of a donut. It looks like it's a fairly good size. And it's a pink iced donut with little pastel sprinkles all over it. And it's got a happy face on it, like a little embroidered face, smiling with its eyes closed. The donut has tiny, tiny, stumpy arms and legs, and it's holding a little heart-shaped, like, thing that says, I love you a whole lot. But whole is spelled with no W.
And that donut, actually, the center donut does look like a hole. It looks like a puckered asshole.
Yep. So essentially, this is a pillow that I need in my life. I don't know. I guess it's a plushie or a pillow. It could be both. Why not? So I'm mentioning this because, podcast listeners, if you can find one of these, I need this plushy asshole, I love you a whole lot pillow in my life.
And if you find it, then Adrian will finally have hope for 2021.
That's if someone can find me this donut asshole pillow, then I will once again have faith in humanity and our future. I will consider 2021 at least a minor success. So hopefully our fantastic listeners can do some sleuthing and, I don't know. I'm hoping that whatever company made this pillow still makes it.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, Adrian.
Yes.
Not what is your resolution, Bridget, but what are some of your goals for 2021? Let's end the podcast. I don't believe in false positivity, toxic positivity, but let's try to go out on a bit of a high note. And then also, listeners, feel free to share your goals with us as well. We can support each other.
Yay! My goal is to buy a house. That's like my big goal. I, you know, I've been working toward it for over a year now, and I just want to do it. I need to move. My two-bedroom apartment is small. My roommate sleeps on the couch most nights because he's a weirdo, and it's annoying because then I want to play Horizon Zero Dawn, and I have to, like, physically remove his body from the couch in order to do that. And
that is annoying.
It's a very irritating situation. I need a house. This space is too small. I can't shoot content and sleep in my bedroom. It's very annoying. Mm-hmm. No separation between work and real life. Oh, I didn't actually tell you my news.
No, you didn't. Sorry. Shit. Interrupting this goals for 2021.
That was my only goal. That's literally my only goal. Everything else is just like whatever.
Well, what's the news?
My other goal is to survive.
Should I say, should I say my goal and then you can tell the news?
Yeah, okay. Share your goals.
My goal is to learn how to tile so I can tile my own backsplash for my kitchen because it doesn't have a backsplash right now.
That's a really good goal. I like that.
Thank you.
I'll help you. I don't really know how to tile formally, but I mean, it can't be that hard, right? Like, I'm good with things like that.
I don't know how to either, but we want to use hexagonal tile. So that's like a very concrete goal that I have. Oh my God, wait, no. Yes, that is my goal, but my other goal is, and it relates to my Christmas and Hanukkah gifts. Guys, my mother-in-law got me a bee box so that I can have bees, so that I can start an apiary. So my goal is to, I can't believe I forgot. I've just been, it's like, I just had house on the brain because we're waiting to hear back from our mortgage guy about how the appraisal went. But
you know what just came to mind is that the one card in the Cards Against Humanity, like the base pack, where it's just bees, exclamation point, question mark.
That was literally my response. My response was bees. So my goal is to take classes to get bees, to be the best little beekeeper I can be.
Oh my God.
And I'm very excited.
Bee. Oh my God, I'm dying over here. And I'm very
excited to be taking this journey. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. This is why I love you, Rachel.
I'm very excited. So my goals for this year are to learn how to tile a backsplash and also to become the best little beekeeper I can be.
Oh my God. Become the best. Okay, I gotta stop. The bee puns will never stop. That's adorable, and I'm very excited. Are you gonna make honey? Eventually, I suppose.
If you join, like, the Louisville Bee Society or Association or something, you can rent their equipment, or you can use their equipment so that you can extract honey if your hive's producing it. There's, like, it's really cool. There's so much cool things. I have a little bee book that I got also for Christmas/Hanukkah, but I can't read it until I read some other books that I have to read.
Oh, you just reminded me of one goal, like one actual legitimate goal I set for myself in 2021.
Okay.
Like a concrete thing.
And then
I'll tell you my news.
Yeah, tell me your happy news.
My one concrete goal for 2021, other than wanting to buy a house, is I want to read 35 books this year.
Oh, wow. Are you counting the books that we're reading for this podcast as part of that 35? Because I think you should.
Absolutely. Okay, any book I read. If it's a book, I'm counting it.
I mean, one of them feels like barely a book, but like, it's trying.
I finished it a couple weeks ago, Rachel, so I'm out of the woods with that one, at least until we have to talk about it, but
I'm on chapter 5.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna read another chapter when
our listeners are probably confused about what we're talking about. But listeners, it's okay. You'll find out soon enough. This is about our top secret upcoming podcast collab. We can't give you any further information right now.
Yeah.
Rachel's really not enjoying that book, though. Oh, my good news. So I am officially on the board of a nonprofit as of like 5 days ago.
What's the nonprofit?
It's a newly formed nonprofit called the Victim Advocacy Project. Their mission is to provide victims of violent crime with resources and funding to deal with the trauma that they've experienced. So currently, since it's so new and we're still trying to raise a bunch of funds, what we are doing is essentially acting as like an intermediary free of charge to help victims of violent crime access resources that states already provide to them. But there's just like bureaucratic stuff on the way to doing that. So it's like, but we have other board members who are lawyers who can help file restraining orders, things like that. Ultimately, the goal is that the nonprofit, we want to have, you know, a lot of resources ourselves and funds so that we can directly provide funds to victims as well. But the other board members are fantastic. The website's really new, so it doesn't have everything on there yet, but they're still working on it. It should be updated this week. Does it have a place
to donate?
It does have a place to donate. The website is vaphelp.com, and there is a donate button on there. The nonprofit was founded by Lenora Claire, who I know from years ago. I first met her in like 2013 because she's always been like adult industry adjacent, although she's never been a sex worker herself. But she's got a pretty big following on like Instagram and stuff. So Lenora is well known for being someone who has actually worked in California specifically to change the laws related to victims of stalking, because she has been a victim of stalking herself. So Lenora and another woman that she knows, Melissa Senti, founded the nonprofit. And like I said, it's brand new. It's just forming. But I'm very excited about it because one of the things that I have been struggling with in the wake of this fucking New York Times piece that Nick Kristof wrote is the context around people who have been victims of some form of crime, like revenge porn or sexual abuse, and the fact that there's an organization like Exodus Cry that's saying we help victims, but they don't really. Like, I mean, what they consider helping is like they're just raising awareness of an issue, but they're not necessarily doing a lot to directly help victims. So, but ultimately, it was just like really good timing that I was asked to be on the board of this nonprofit while I've been feeling like, God, there must be more that we can do. Mm-hmm. Like, I have wanted to do something more directly because I feel like I've been an advocate, but I haven't ever been able to call myself an activist because I haven't done a lot, like, tangibly to help people, you know? I mean, I donate money and stuff, but that's, like, different. So this way I can actually have a little bit more of a voice in it. The reason that they wanted me to be on the board is specifically because I'm a sex worker and they want to be inclusive of sex workers in their mission and make sure that they're not doing things in a way that would ever be exclusionary to sex workers. And that's very important to them. And so I appreciate that I'm being included and I do intend to do the best that I can with that. So yeah, it's exciting. It's good news. It's been actually like a really like nice counterbalance to all of the shit of the past month.
Yay.
That, and it gives me something that I can tell my mommy about that she can like not feel weird about me doing. Like, you know,
aww.
I can't necessarily text my mom and be like, Mom, I got my first double penetration scene. I'm so proud. A real career moment for me. But I can text my mom and be like, Mom, look, I'm working with this nonprofit.
I mean, you could text her about your double penetration scene. I could. But I don't think she'd take it well.
I don't think she would appreciate it. Yeah.
So on that note, you can call and leave a voicemail or question or a voicemail telling us how great we are. Ask us a question. Tell us your goals for a future episode. At 818-457-6535. Again, that's 818-457-6535. You can email us at therealsiri at protonmail.com or therealrachel at protonmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at afteradultpod or on Instagram at afteradult. You can follow me personally on Twitter now at civilianrachel.
Follow Rachel on Twitter, everyone.
And you can follow Adrian on Twitter at...
Or Siri.
Yeah, you can follow Siri on Twitter at... I don't know your handle.
The real Siri PS.
Yeah. On Twitter. And then I think it's like the same on Instagram and like platforms. I mean, if you're a Siri fan,
I'm the real Siri dot PS on Instagram. But yeah, I think a lot of the people listening to the podcast who are aware of anything Siri related already follow me probably on all those things. But yep, my Instagram managed to make it past the December 20th purge of sex workers from Instagram. A lot of porn stars got their accounts deleted on that day when the new terms and conditions went into effect. But mine is still kicking it, man. I have more than 500,000 followers now, which is really weird to think about.
We're going to get through it.
We'll do it.
We're going to make it through 2020.
Yeehaw! I need to stop saying that. No yeehaw. She's doing porn again.